Chapter 1. Zara. A cold wind blows through the Ironback Mountains, swirling flurries of snowflakes as it comes down from off the peaks. Slate-gray clouds cling to the mountains like heavy blankets of vapor, blotting out the pale light of the sun with promises of snowstorms in the coming days. It paints a rather bleak picture, the looming threat of winter, making the hidden mountain vale feel more foreboding than safe. A haven for storms, and not suitable for man to make his home. I shiver and pull my robes more tightly around myself, my breath puffing out as mist in front of my face. Winter is almost upon us, I think drearily, if it hasn't arrived already. Tearing my eyes away from the lofty mountains, I gaze at the prison camp arrayed before me, a dismal assortment of tents and smoldering fire pits. The hundreds of captured soldiers huddle by the fires in an attempt to keep warm, their postures bent in the defeated manner of prisoners of war. The camp itself is surrounded by a picket wall of sharpened spears and watchtowers, upon which Nightingale archers and even a few rangers stand guard, keeping wary eyes on their charges. I am atop one such tower, shifting uncomfortably as another gust of wind causes the wooden construction to sway. Below, a pair of Nightingale soldiers lead a man from the crowd of prisoners toward me. His blue robes are tattered, and he holds a rough-spun blanket around his shoulders, his hands pale and dirty. The soldiers roughly shove him forward as they reach the base of the tower. He looks up at me pleadingly, his withered face covered in stubble, with dark circles ringing his bloodshot eyes. "Jezrik," I say, lifting my voice so that it will carry over the howling winds. "What is it this time?" The disgraced mage forces an unconvincing smile.
"Seeker Denil, thank you for agreeing to see me again. I only ask for a moment of your time."
"Let me guess. You want me to once again consider your proposal?" He nods fervently.
"These living conditions are appalling. Quite unbecoming for one of my station. You've lived in the conclave. You understand."
I find it difficult to have any sympathy for the man.
"You should have thought of that before becoming a lackey to King Æthelgar. By taking part in the siege, you betrayed your loyalty to the High Magus."
"Not exactly," he replies indignantly, taking a step forward.
One of the guards mutters something and bears an inch of steel from its scabbard. Jezrik shoots him a hateful look before peering back up at me.
"I acted according to my conscience. The King of Tarsinium asked that I come support his army, and I answered the call. Some would say that's patriotism."
"And what of the gold he offered to buy your discretion?" I retort. "General Moore was quick to inform us of the sum you received. Do patriots accept bribes like common mercenaries?"
I watch his cheeks flush red as he struggles to remain calm.
"Be that as it may," Jezrik says through gritted teeth, "I am still a member of the Conclave, a mage of the rank of Evoker. You and I are on the same side, even if circumstances have placed us on opposite sides of the battlefield."
"I'm sorry, Jezrik," I reply, "though in truth I don't feel sorry for him at all. I'm afraid my answer is the same as it was before. Even if I wanted to release you from your imprisonment, the decision is not mine to make. You're a prisoner of the Nightingales. I'm but a solitary mage visiting Dunmar City."
"But that's just it," he exclaims, taking another step toward the tower.
The guard draws his sword all the way out this time, but Jezrik ignores him.
"You do have a say, Seeker. As a mage, your authority is supreme."
"That's where you went wrong in the first place," I reply coldly, turning my back on him. "We mustn't use our power to put ourselves above that which is right. I depart, walking down the creaking wooden steps of the watchtower, while Jezrek shouts behind me.
No! Sacred Denil, please! Consider my words. I can be your ally.
As the soldiers grab him, his tone becomes more vehement.
You're nothing but a spoiled child, he snarls. You'll regret this when I get out of here. Mark my words.
His ravings fade as I begin heading away from the prison camp toward the looming mountain of Dunmar City. The great stone doors, still broken from the siege, gape wide open, revealing the glowing lights of civilization within. Arrogant man, I think, shaking my head sadly. Mages like him believe that magic is the ultimate authority, putting themselves above the law. Such thinking will be the destruction of the conclave, and everything else for that matter. My feet crunch on gravel as I climb the trail through the valley. All around me, mist rises from the hot springs, bubbling up from beneath Bihalia and giving life to the farmlands. Unfortunately, those once thriving farms had been trampled and razed by King Æthelgar's army weeks ago, before the rangers came to our rescue. As I pass by burnt homesteads and mass graves dug for the fallen, I'm reminded of the price of war. This city was nearly broken, its residents almost completely destroyed. Even now, long after the battle, a feeling of mourning still hangs heavy in the air. Even so, the people of Dunmar have proven themselves resilient, much like the residents of Forest Hill. After burying their loved ones, they immediately began to salvage the remains of their city, clearing the rubble from their streets and rebuilding their homes. The entrance to the mountain yawns before me like an enormous mouth, a sight I still haven't quite gotten used to. The ruins of the fortifications, built into the mountainside and flanking the great entryway, still carry patrols of nightingales, their dark cloaks stark against the white-gray of the granite walls. On the open field outside the doors, orderly rows of tents have been set up, temporary dwellings for the rangers, as they help with the rebuilding efforts. As I approach, I can see many of the grey-green-clad warriors training out in the cold, relentlessly honing their skills with the blade and the bow. Crazy rangers, I mutter, pulling my hood up and shivering. Can they not sit still for a single minute? Something grabs me from behind, clutching my shoulder in a vice-like grip. I scream in alarm, grabbing my talisman and preparing to pull in enough source energy to burn my attacker to cinders. Then I hear laughing. Light curse you, Owen! I turn to see the ranger's apprentice doubled over in laughter. You know I hate it when you sneak up on me.
Sorry,
he replies, his face split in a huge, disarming grin.
I couldn't help myself. I'm just a crazy ranger who can't sit still for a single minute.
I roll my eyes at him. I'll look past the fact you were eavesdropping on me and tell you that you've only proven my point. Honestly, why is it that you always find the need to go sneaking about? He shrugs, wiping a tear of laughter from his eye.
It makes it easier.
Makes what easier?
Catching a glimpse of your backside.
I open my mouth in mock outrage, then reach out to punch him lightly on the shoulder. Degenerate. In the blink of an eye, he deflects my faux attack and wraps his arms around me, pulling me close in a tight embrace. I pound my fist playfully against the leather armor of his chest. Unhand me! I'm a mage! I'll not be handled like some... He kisses me, his soft lips pressing against mine, arresting the remainder of my sentence. Forgetting all about whatever witty thing I was about to say, I kiss him back, passionately clinging to him as the world seems to slow down around us and fade away. His arms, so powerful and strong, encircle me,
as his closeness fills my body with a warmth that drives away the winter chill. Even with everything that's wrong in the world, I'm happy that we're still able to share moments like these. They're like beams of light, shining through the suffocating darkness. Finally, we break away, though it feels like it's over far too quickly. He grins at me again with that same crooked smile that fills my stomach with butterflies, and I proceed to make a pouty face at him. "It's not fair that you can do that," I say, looking deeply into his forest green eyes.
"Do what?"
he asks, brows knitting together. "Kiss me like that," I reply, leaning in and resting my head against his chest. "It makes me think that you can get away with anything, Owen Lund." He chuckles.
"I don't know about that."
We stand there for a long moment, holding each other as the wind gusts around us. Distantly, I can hear the clanging of metal as the other rangers spar, but I ignore the noise, silently wishing that he could hold me here forever.
"The leaders are meeting in the Citadel," he whispers, warm breath gently caressing my ear.
"I know," I reply sullenly, squeezing my eyes shut. "What I wouldn't give for a break from all of this, a holiday from demons and war. Surely the world will still be here when we return." He remains quiet, which speaks louder than anything he could have said. The harsh reality of our situation weighs heavily on both of us, snuffing out the romantic embers we'd just kindled. The world might not be here when we return. The R'hllar and those seeking to sow chaos in Tarsinium will never rest until the last kingdom on Behalia has fallen. Whatever's beginning to happen between the two of us, it will have to wait until the threat is over. "Fine," I sigh, reluctantly stepping away from him. "Let's go. Maybe if we hurry we can get there before Barris sucks all the air out of the room." He grins at me briefly and places his hand on the small of my back, walking beside me as I continue up the gravel road to the gates of the city. Several of the Nightingale guards wave at us as we pass, nodding in respect as they watch us from their posts. Amazing how a near-catastrophic battle can turn even the most unlikely groups into allies. The city, even with all the ongoing rebuilding efforts, remains a husk of its former glory. Homes stand empty and gutted, looted by the king's army, while piles of refuse litter the streets. Still, the citizenry labors on, picking up the pieces with grim determination, filling wheelbarrows with debris as they try to do their best to clean up the ash and dust. Before us, at the back of the cavern housing Dunmar City, is the Citadel, a black fortress lit by torches and smoldering braziers. It looks even more ominous than the first time I had laid eyes on it, like a half-broken monster carved from polished obsidian. Its newly repaired portcullis stands open, though dozens of Nightingale soldiers are on guard, outside and above it, their eyes watchfully searching for signs of trouble. These also nod respectfully to us as we pass, parting and granting us access to their most secure holdout. We make our way silently through the twisting tunnels beneath the fortress, Owen being my guide and source of strength as we traverse the oppressive darkness. Thankfully, it isn't long before we find ourselves at the entrance of the Protector's audience chamber, the flickering torches casting dancing shadows around us. "Ready?" I ask, turning to look at him.
"As ready as I'll ever be, I suppose."
He offers me a wan smile, then pushes open the door. Inside, the sound of arguing voices is cut short as we enter, everyone looking over their shoulders at us in agitation. A long table has been set up in the middle of the wide antechamber, with high-backed seats lining its perimeter. Sitting at those seats are Elias, Talon, General Barris,
Master Warden Tamara Moyle, and a cadre of Nightingale leaders, including Captain Sturgis. At the head of the table sits Protector Xander Fell, his crisp military uniform as neat and black as ever.
"Ah,"
he says cordially, gesturing to a pair of empty seats.
"Owen and Zara, thank you for coming. Please, be seated."
We awkwardly make our way to the table and sit down, the eyes of those gathered following us the entire time. "Light," I think, situating myself across from Talon. "They must have started early, and everyone seems to have known about it, except for us."
"Maybe if you weren't so busy tongue-wrestling, you'd actually be able to show up to a meeting on time,"
Talon mutters out of the corner of his mouth. The snide comment was directed at Owen, but he said it loud enough for me to overhear. Keeping a perfectly neutral expression, I kick the apprentice in the shin beneath the table. He emits a decidedly unmanly whimper, to which I offer him a pleasant smile, sitting up straight and lacing my fingers in front of me. Owen lets out a small grunt of a laugh.
"We were just discussing what our next move should be, now that the snows will soon be upon us," the Protector continues without missing a beat.
Despite his perfect posture, he looks worn out, with deep wrinkles furrowing the skin on his forehead and the corners of his eyes. These last few weeks seem to have aged him considerably, a million different tasks demanding his attention.
"We cannot keep Æthelgar's men here for the winter without them freezing to death, and we still have the threat of the demons to consider." "Let 'em freeze, I say,"
Barriss declares brusquely.
"They'd give our people similar treatment if the roles were reversed."
Several of the other Nightingales murmur their agreement.
"That isn't the way we do things," the Protector replies, fixing the general with a stern look. "We're not barbarians." "With all due respect, Protector," Barriss says, "we're in the middle of a war. Any prisoners we turn loose will be used against us. You may not like it, but in the long run, killing the bastards will benefit us the most."
Again, more murmurs of approval.
"The R'hllar don't care about our war," Elias growls. "This conflict is nothing but a distraction. They'll use it for their own advantage and destroy us while we're weak."
"Elias is right," Tamara says, giving the grizzled ranger an approving look out of the corner of her eye. She appears both beautiful and severe, sitting there, her blue eyes tearing away from Elias to sweep intensely across the table. "The only path ahead is unity. If we stand divided, we will all fall together. We must sue for peace with the king if we are to prepare for what is to come."
"That's easy for you to say, Ranger," Barriss rumbles, his face growing red with anger. "You're a part of that monster's regime. Don't think the Nightingales will soon forget the slaughter in the Ashwood. You may have come to our rescue here, but the blood of those women and children still stains your hands."
Protector Thel slams his fist down on the table.
"Enough, Barriss."
The entire chamber falls silent, tensions hanging heavy in the air. He's been losing his temper more and more lately. I watch as the Protector takes a deep breath to calm himself. I can't imagine the stress he's under.
"Forgive him, Master Warden," the Protector says at length, looking over at Tamara. "We are, of course, indebted to you and your rangers for coming to our aid. We acknowledge that you are indeed our faithful allies."
Tamara leans forward, fierce eyes fixed upon Barriss. "I'm sorry for what happened to those families," she said. "But we had nothing to do with that attack. The responsible parties have been punished, and we're doing everything we can to make restitution." Barriss doesn't reply, merely grunts and settles back into his chair. Tamara stands, speaking with solemn authority. The imprisoned king's men are our responsibility as rangers. We are the protectors of the realm. Until any further agreement can be reached with the king, we will bring the prisoners to the Grand Lodge. As Master Warden, it is in my authority to exercise this decision. There will be no further discussion. With other matters to attend to, my rangers and I will be returning to the Ashwood as soon as preparations can be made. A stunned silence fills the room, Elias and Tamara exchanging brief glances before the Protector replies,
"It will be as you say, Master Warden. But may I offer a word of warning? Serpents are cunning, so beware of the king's veiled offers of peace in exchange for the life of his men. You are now enemies of the crown."
"Duly noted, Protector," Tamara acknowledges as she takes her seat. Sensing an opportunity, I decide to speak up. "The fact still remains. The Arc of Radiance is failing. Your own reports, Protector, indicate that demons are getting through at a much higher rate than before. They haven't yet come into Tarsinium in any sizable force, thank the light, but they are still terrorizing the countryside. I fear that before winter ends, we will have a full-fledged crisis on our hands." Several of the Nightingale attendants whisper to each other in worried tones, and Elias gives me an approving look.
"Are we not safe here in the mountains?" Sturgis asks, turning in his seat to look at the Protector. "We've not seen any demons here, and soon the snows will make the roads impassable."
"It doesn't matter," Owen says, speaking up for the first time. "Snows melt eventually, and if Tarsinium falls in the meantime, Dunmar City will be next. Holding up here will only be delaying the inevitable."
Owen and I exchange glances of uncertainty as the room devolves into a series of arguments about what should be done. Barris balks at the idea of talking to King Aethelgar about peace, while Tamara explains in frustrated tones the destructive power the demons possess. Talon makes a sarcastic comment, and Protector Fel looks to be at a loss for words. Curiously, one person sits quietly in the corner of the chamber during all of this, eyes down in apparent thought. I'd barely noticed his presence when we first entered the room. Ignis, the aged mage from the Nightingale's Cabal, bears a troubled look on his wrinkled face. He's done much in the rebuilding efforts, despite not having the energy of youth, working with architects and stonemasons to reconstruct what was destroyed. Since the end of the siege, Ignis has become more somber than he was when we first met. It probably has something to do with the loss of the other two members of the Cabal who perished in the fighting. He's now the last remaining Nightingale mage, a man with the weight of an entire city pressing down upon him. Protector Thel also seems to notice him sitting silently across from where he stands.
"What say you, Ignis?" he asks,
raising his voice to be heard above the noise. One by one, everyone in the room stops talking until a curious silence ensues. The old mage furrows his brow, looking up and meeting the Protector's gaze.
"These are troubling times, Xander,"
he replies gravely.
"What young Zara says troubles me, but it has the ring of truth to it."
The Protector leans forward, resting his fists, knuckles down, on the table.
"And what do you suggest we do?"
Ignis hesitates for just a moment, then responds.
"I have not seen these demons myself, but I have read the reports. Wars come and go, but this threat seems like something else entirely. I'm afraid we may be facing the extinction of the human race."
This seems to strike fear into the hearts of many at the table. They eye one another nervously, though no one dares to speak.
"To me there is but one choice," he continues. "We must unite ourselves with those we can, and defend the rest of the kingdom. We cannot cower in these mountains forever.
The protector studies him for a long moment, then slowly nods, his jaw setting in resignation.
I happen to agree, though truthfully, I doubt the king will be willing to work with us. His contempt for our people overshadows the demon threat, especially now that we've defeated his army.
He turns his gaze around the table, looking at everyone in turn as he speaks.
Fortunately, there are others in the kingdom who are willing to unite for the greater good.
Reaching into his coat pocket, Xander pulls out a folded piece of parchment and holds it up for everyone to see. The blue seal has been broken, and the flowing script addressing the protector seems familiar to me.
I've received a missive from the High Magus of the Conclave, he declares, requesting that we meet to form an alliance to combat the R'hllar. After listening to your advice, I move that we accept the mage's proposal. With the rangers and the mages beside us, we have a chance to bring peace to the realm.
Baris sputters.
Form an alliance? With mages? Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, the protector replies, undaunted. We need allies, Baris, and Ignis has spoken truly. The demons are no common enemy. If we don't defeat them, then they will destroy us. Every last human on the face of Bihalia.
He sweeps his gaze around the room.
But we are all free folk here. We must vote on the matter. All those in favor of accepting the High Magus's proposal, say aye.
Owen, Talon, and I, along with Tamara, Elias, Ignis, and a handful of other nightingales, respond, aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Baris, Sturgis, and the rest of the nightingales reply,
nay. The eyes have it.
Whispers fill the hall as many in attendance converse quietly with one another, but the protector isn't finished. Pausing for just an instant, he concludes the meeting.
Begin making the necessary preparations. We make for the Heartlands at once.